Thank you for tuning in to the Royals in Action broadcast today. Your participation means a lot to us. The essence of this program is to educate you on how to apply the Word of God practically to bring about positive outcomes in your daily situations. And joining us for this insightful journey is R.K. Achina.
Now, let's refocus on our biblical test, and let's really dig into what that's all about. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 to 5. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 5, I read. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or unbelief, nor was it in deceit, but as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Amen. Now, what's particularly interesting to ponder is the verse number 3, which says, for our exaltation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. This is profound. Because Paul was saying here that he didn't resort to deception or tricks or any kind of manipulation to convert the Thessalonians. You know, not like those preachers in his time who just wanted to be famous and rich. You know, those preachers would most likely pick and choose Bible verses to fit their own story and trick their followers into giving money. They would usually stand before the congregation and proclaim, oh, Bible says God will prosper. I'm seeing many of you prospering right now. You will prosper. I say you will prosper. God is pouring money on you right now. I see money in the atmosphere falling on people right now. Ah, receive it in Jesus' name. You know, they are always twisting the meaning of scripture to suit their own desires and leading people astray, you see. So these false preachers usually took their time to create a message that would speak to what their listeners wanted, especially what they wanted to hear. And they would usually finish their sermon by subtly asking for financial support. Man, that's harsh. They go like, God is good. And they wait all the time. And all the time, God is good. And then they go like, I'm looking for someone among you right now. Could bless the Lord with $100. Come on, somebody express your faith right now. Come on, show your love, somebody. Show some love. Appreciate the Most High God with your substance. Amen. So, though they were not outright dishonest, they were certainly manipulative and cunning in their approach, right? They were honest about the words they preached, but dishonest about their underlying motives, you see. But Paul is saying here that his honesty was without hidden motives. His message of truth, his actions were without error. His motivation was without fault. His method was without manipulation and deception, amen? So beloved, if you truly wish to embark on this road less traveled, one that overflows with rewarding promises, you must use honesty as a virtue, not as a weapon. Amen. Honesty is a virtue, not a weapon. Not a weapon used to manipulate. Not a weapon used to inflict harm. Man, it's strange how dishonest people can sometimes use honesty as a weapon, you know, to get what they want. They're always lying and tricking people, but when it suits them, they suddenly become very honest. You realize that? Mm-hmm. These people will pretend, they'll just pretend that just being honest, right? But when they actually want to make someone feel bad, they actually resort to honesty. Ever experienced people like that? They're usually the type of people who would always point out in any imperfections in your outfit, no matter how stylish and attractive you look. They are telling you your hair smells funny, telling you how your shoes are hopelessly worn out, just to belittle you in front of your friends. Ever experienced people like that? They might just say they are being honest, right? But what they really want is to make you feel small and insignificant. Such people are very sneaky. And since they hate you so much, they're going to go great lengths to embarrass you, even if it seems pretending to care about your feelings. Sometimes these same people turn out to be your best friends in disguise, making moves on your boyfriend behind your back and trying to turn you against him so they can take your place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Showing you pictures of your fiancé hanging out with some female friends and making it look like he's cheating just to create tension and get you to break up with him so they can swoop in and take over. Ever had friends like that before? I'm telling you, it's happening right now. So, as you can clearly see, they're being honest, all right, but with a hidden motive, right? With a hidden motive. But somebody, instead of stooping to their level, you should be like Paul and see honesty as a virtue and not a weapon. Be true to yourself and your values. Let your actions be without error. Let your motivation be pure and your lifestyle authentic, free from error, free from uncleanness, free from any form of deception. Amen. The verse number 4, still in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The verse number 4. But as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, by God who tests our hearts. Here's my favorite part. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, if you want to underline that. That's the number one reason why most people shy away from the path of honesty. That road less traveled. You're right, because they're afraid. Afraid of what men would think about them. Afraid of what men would say about them. Afraid of what men would do to them. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You withheld the truth of having a child because you were afraid that your fiance would find out and not marry you. You withheld the truth about your profession, accomplishments, and successes because you were afraid others would not accept you for who you are, feeling like an imposter, living a double life, and concealing your true identity from those around you. You withheld the truth about falsifying records because you were afraid you would lose respect and trust of those who held you in high esteem. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But Paul is saying here that he was entrusted with a gospel of truth because he spoke not as pleasing men. He spoke the gospel without fear of what men would do to him, of what men would say to him, of what men would think about him. He didn't care if speaking the truth would get him persecuted. He didn't care if the truth would get him killed. Neither did he care if that would get him opposed, ostracized, and rejected by society. In a world where many were afraid to speak out, he stood tall, unafraid, unapologetic. His unwavering commitment to sharing the gospel was indicative of the deep-rooted power of his faith. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Amen. Man, I want to challenge you right now to step up and get to the point where you can't compromise the truth no longer. The point where you're not ashamed to tell the truth. The point where you're not afraid to tell the truth. The point where, you know, telling the truth might get me in trouble, but God, I'll tell it anyway. The point where telling the truth might cost me that job, but I would tell it anyway. The point where telling the truth might cost me financial support, it will cost me respect, will cost me approval from others, but goodness me, I will tell it anyway. Because honesty is the foundation of my call. It is the driving force that shapes my life. I'd rather take the hard way out than a life built on lies. It's what makes me who I am. It's what makes me a rising star. For my Bible says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. I choose to walk in integrity and honesty. I choose to take the path that's difficult and rare, for I know that true success is found there. For I know I'll surely find serenity there. At this point, I'm sure many of you have questions. Now, Pastor, can you guide me on how to tread the road less traveled? I've decided to live honestly from this day forward. How do I start? How do I start? Don't worry. You are in the right spot. Amen. You are in the right spot. I'm going to give you two tips to kickstart your journey to honesty. Two. And then later, if we have more time, we can explore the actual steps of walking the honest road. Two steps on starting an honest life, quickly, in your notes. Number one, the goal should be crystal clear. The goal should be crystal clear. The goal here is not to transform from being dishonest to a perfectly honest individual. Get that straight. The goal here is not to achieve perfect honesty. Honestly, I don't think anyone in this world can claim to be perfectly honest all the time. I personally don't think being perfect honest is an achievable human goal, right? Ensure that your goal is clear. The goal here is to strive to be honest each and every day. The goal here is to make honesty a part of your lifestyle. Pursue it every day, but don't beat yourself up if you fall off the honest road once in a while. Man, to be honest, I do fall short of honesty sometimes. I do. But that doesn't mean I'm not living an honest life. No. When this happens, it's important to acknowledge, you know, your mistakes, apologize if necessary, and commit to doing better in the future. Amen. Number two, in your notes, remove the old foundation. Remove the old foundation. For the record, honesty is a critical foundation. So if you currently have your life built on lies, that's the current foundation. And it's impossible to build a strong foundation on a weak one. To create a strong foundation, you must first remove the weak one and make room for a strong one. Make sense? You need to be like Zacchaeus, somebody. You need to be like Zacchaeus and remove the old foundation, that corrupt foundation. Amen. Now, we know Zacchaeus was a worthy tax collector in the city of Jericho, but his wealth was built on dishonest means, right? Zacchaeus had built a shady empire by ripping people off, overcharging taxes, and keeping the extra cash. So when Jesus noticed Zacchaeus up in the tree, he was like, "My boy, let's go to your house." To Zacchaeus, that was the good news. He couldn't process that thought of having a whole son of God visit a sinner like him that day. You know what I'm saying? He knew he wasn't worthy of such an invitation, so he made a decision that same day that he would remove that old corrupt foundation and replace it with a glorious new one. One that is rooted in honesty and integrity. Amen. Finally, Zacchaeus declared that, "Now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now that's what I'm talking about. That's what removing the old foundation means. Hallelujah. So if you have a dishonest foundation, here and now, you gotta destroy it. Amen. Like Zacchaeus, it's time to climb that sycamore tree and look at your life from a different perspective. You know there are things from your past that need to be addressed, actions that you regret, and words that you've left unspoken. This is the very moment you've been waiting for, to make amends for your past. This is the time to reach out to those that you have wronged, to reveal the truth that has been hidden for God knows how long, and to ask for forgiveness. Amen. This will tell if you're truly ready to walk this path of honesty or not. Perhaps there is a secret that you've kept from your spouse, a truth that has been weighing heavily on your conscience for so many years. You know it's time to come clean, to tell them the child that they've been raising is not biologically theirs. Or maybe you lied to somebody to get ahead, trying to manipulate the situation to your advantage. It's time to call that person and admit what you did, to apologize and seek their forgiveness. Man, if you've been holding on to a confession and you're afraid to speak it out loud, know that the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right now. It's time to let go of that burden. It's time to bring it all out into the light. And as you exit today's service, go and redeem yourself. The Holy Spirit is whispering to you right now, urging you to take action. You know that if you don't take this opportunity to come clean, your day of reckoning will come. The truth will surely come to light. Whether you like it or not, you'll be left with regret and shame, begging for mercy and forgiveness that may never come. But today, you have the chance to salvage your relationships, to save them from the distractions that await if you keep hiding the truth. The Holy Spirit is touching you right now. Maybe you're feeling the weight of your lies and secrets right now. That burden that has been weighing on you for so long. You're probably saying in your mind, "Pastor, if I tell the truth, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my marriage. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my home, my dignity, my respect." You're feeling paralyzed by the fear of what might happen if you speak out. But think about it this way. If you know the truth is going to come out eventually, why not be honest now and save yourself the stress of dealing with the consequences that come in the future? My brother, my sister, As you're climbing down from this sycamore tree, your heart may be pounding right now. You know that the road ahead won't be easy. But trust me, beloved, with each step that you're going to take, each person you're going to reach out to, you will be one step closer to living an honest life. One step closer to walking this road less traveled. Amen. Don't worry, you're not alone on this journey. The Holy Spirit is here to provide you with the strength and courage to live this honest life. The Bible says, say unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this enlightening journey today. Before we wrap up, subscribe to our podcast so you're kept in the loop about our next amazing episodes. To join our community or support our ministry, click the link in the description or visit royalsinaction.org. Until next time, Royals in Action is here to remind you to embrace your destiny as a chosen channel of God's royalty. God bless you.